Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the International Black Summit. This is Man of the Month, and today we're featuring Rod Pass out of Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Glenn Greenidge. I'm hosting the show, and we feature several shows on Sundays at from 8 to 9 p.m. Each week is a different show. We start off the month with On Track with Henrietta Byrd. That's the first Sunday. The second Sunday is Let's Celebrate with Shakaysha. She looks to acknowledge and to work with the youth. And then we have Vision Works with Clara Lyons. She's the third week. And then I bring up the fourth week with Man of the Month. Also, I'm hosting Wealth Club, which is a show on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, and that's from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and these are all Eastern Standard time zones that we're giving. So if you're in a different time zone, you'd have to adjust it. Let's start out with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Moment of silence. Thank you. All right, so we're going to start off the conversation with Mr. Rod Pass, and I see that we've got a couple of listeners out there. We're going to get to you in a little bit. We're going to, Mr. Rod Pass, thank
yes.
you for being on the show.
Thanks. Thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome. Would you let people know a little bit about who you are, your background, how long you've been in Landmark, in the Summit, in Sterling?
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Glenn. First of all, I did Landmark Education, the forum, in 1992. I actually did their program, and I've done several other programs with Landmark over the years. I actually have done their Introduction to Leaders Forum program three times. I've been on another course they have. It's called Team Management Leadership Program.
Rod, tell them a little bit about what the Introduction to Forum Leaders program is, a little bit, so that they understand what that is, and a little bit about TMLP, because not everybody may be familiar with those terms.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. So Introduction to Leaders Forum program is a course that's 6 months long, and in this course, we actually have 6 months of training to actually lead an introduction to the Landmark Forum. And with the Landmark Forum, you go through this course, and at the end of this course, you can actually begin to lead introductions. And I did that course. And then also with Team Management Leadership Program, it's actually Team Management Leadership Program. It's a year, and Landmark has courses which are called the communication courses, and the Team Management Leadership Program actually supports the communication program, and that we register people into the Communication Access to Power course, the Power to Create course, and also people into the Team Management Leadership Program, which is 2 years, 1 year of actually being coached, and then the second year of actually coaching. And also, just to step back just a little bit, Introduction to the Leaders Program, which they've changed the name now, is now also, it also supports people registering into the forum. And I've been doing that since 1992.
Let the listeners out there know a little bit. So what these programs are leadership programs. So these are programs to train you in being a leader supporting Landmark in its body of work. If you look at the International Black Summit, we have a thing called a summit share, which is, I would say, equivalent to an introduction. It's a way of introducing the body of work of the International Black Summit, and letting people have an opportunity to register themselves in it. Okay, go ahead, Ron.
Yes, and so with those courses, I've done them over the years, and also then I actually came into the International Black Summit in 93, which was the following year. Actually, it was probably pretty much just 8 months later. I did the International Black Summit in Oakland, and then I did Oakland, New York, New Orleans. We did it here again in Atlanta, and I did Jamaica, and then I did Philadelphia.
Hold on a second. So what Rod is pointing to is that the International Black Summit has an annual event, and those annual events sometimes are outside of the country. They're usually in a large city, either in the U.S. or Canada or outside. We've gone to Africa three times, Ghana, South Africa, and where's the other place we went to? Nairobi, Kenya.
And Brazil. We went to Brazil too.
And then we've gone to Brazil, and we've gone to Jamaica twice. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So, and also in those programs, I actually took leadership in those too. I was enrollment manager for Atlanta from 93 until, I think, 98. And I think in 98, I actually was the host for the Atlanta team. So I've done a few things around both programs. And then also, I also did Sterling Institution of Relationship, which is also, it's really geared toward, men in relationships. And he also has one for women in relationship. And I did that I've been doing that on and off since 1997. And go ahead, Glenn.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that, but the three of them, really, really have a lot of different courses that they have. And what I found in each one, it's just been really great discipline and integrity. And I guess that's what Glenn and I are going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So just give you a little background.
One of the things that I wanted to point to or suggest, I'm hoping that someone from the Youth at Risk program can call in. I know we've got a big body of folks in New York who are part of the New York Youth at Risk, which is a program that spun out of Breakthrough. But in essence, all the offerings that we're talking about tonight. Landmark Education with the forum and all of the courses that it has, the International Black Summit and the programs that it has available, the Sterling Institute of Relationship, Youth at Risk, all of these programs have some base root in the S training and the forum. The organizations originally came out or were seeded by the conversation of Landmark Education. And some, as I said, came out of the S training, which was the predecessor to the forum or the forum. So those are the source of them. And so the conversation and what we wanted to get to was how different are they? Are they really different? And how are they different? So begin to underline. Now, again, we can only speak from our opinion, we're not speaking for the organization itself. So go ahead, Rod. So how would you begin to distinguish some of the work that you've done across the different programs? Let's start first with Sterling, because I think fewer people have an experience or understand of Sterling. I like yourself, have done the men's weekend for Sterling.
Well, one thing is, the one thing about Sterling that might be just a little different than the rest of them is that at least Sterling, let me put it this way. At least Sterling, just to give you an idea, Sterling, of course, is a man who actually teaches a course that he has for men, and it's more of from going from being a going from being a young man into adulthood. And what the program is set up is that we have in different cities teams or organization, and ours was called the Dog Soldiers in Atlanta, which is still what we have here in Atlanta. And what we have is we meet once a month, and we have close to 200 men that's on the team, and then on that group in the division, we actually have a division, and inside of the division you have teams. Now on the teams we meet separately once a week, and it's made up of eight men, usually 8 to 10 men, and we really make sure that we have a program each week that when we meet we go through how we actually, I guess you can say, really support each other. And with that dynamic, we also offer other courses that actually offer leadership. And what I found in that is that I found that when I did that, that it kind of was very similar to what I had done with the Summit and with Landmark. And the difference is that it was more of a close knit, and it was totally individual. What I mean is that the division totally ran it. Sterling had really nothing to do with it. He had guidelines to put people in his course, but it was still totally run by the men. And inside of that, what was really great, it still had so many remnants of true integrity and, how the men relate to each other and how we're here to support each other. And it's, for me, it was really similar to how Landmark has it and how the Summit is, just a little different dynamic. Go ahead.
Now, Rob, one of the things I want to make sure that my listeners understand is that Sterling, the program that you're talking about is strictly a men's program. So it's a program designed to support men in being men and being in the world with integrity, producing results, and having, miracles occur in their life. Would that be a pretty good assessment of it?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that, Glenn. So what Sterling actually offers is that, and this is, one thing I can say that Sterling really brings forth is that, to me, Sterling is more about the heart of the man. And what it speaks to is that, dealing with, first of all, Sterling is, he has two different things. He has one, the men's division, which is only men, and then you have the women. So we coexist inside that. We support each other because a lot of men, their wives are in the women's side, and the men are in the men's side, and we do things together. But when we are just separate, what happens is that the men actually meet together, and when we meet, one thing that happens is we really do say, hey, this is we're here to help inside of what you want for your family, what you want to do with your wife and kids, how you are with your father, and how you are in relationship with your wife. And also, we also really speak to every week of what's really going on in our lives and how we can help each other inside of that. Go ahead.
Now, would you say that that it is a support group, and I don't mean to belittle it by saying calling it a support group, but a way of men being able to express themselves with other men, through other men, and there's a kind of a safety zone to be able to do that?
I would say that. I would say that one of the things that it's definitely a place where you are, you know, one of the things that we always say, and hopefully this shouldn't be any issue around this, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, is that we call it a meeting without walls. Because then you're safe to say anything that you feel that you need to say to really get out what's going on in your life.
Okay.
And typically, you know, we actually meet outdoors. We actually don't meet inside. And it all the way through the summer, through the winter, we meet for 3 hours outside, and we're saying that, hey, this is a meeting without walls. You can say anything, and it won't be anything like a backlash to you.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. This is the Man of the Month, International Black Summit Talk Network. This is Glenn Greenidge, and I've got Rod Pass. And we're talking right now about the relationship of different work, bodies of work, transformational work. Right now we're distinguishing the Sterling relationship, Sterling Institute of Relationship, and we're talking specifically about the men's division as it occurs. Is there anything else that you want to say specifically about Sterling?
Well, and also, I guess the only other thing that I can say, that the one thing that I really can say that I find, and this is like, you know, like a little, I guess I can just say this, so, you know, I go to church, and every time when I go to church, the men put their arms between you to hug you. And when I'm with Sterling and with the men in Sterling, we don't do that. We do a regular embrace. Like, it's nothing in between us. And it's nothing there that has space between us. And I find that that is such a great thing to say and a great thing to have, that you can really connect with someone without stuff being in the way. So when I go to church or see men on the street and say, hey, how you doing, and want to give them a hug, they put their arm between me and put it in my shoulder or in my chest. I'm like, what is that about?
Okay.
You know, and
still a little separation going on there.
Yeah, yeah. But when you're, and see, and the thing about with Sterling, what you have, you're like, you really kind of get in the trenches with men, and you become to really know each other, and it's like really being family. You know, like now you have your other family. This, you know, it's like this is a family of men, and we're here to help support each other's families, and support and. With your children, with your wives, with, you know, and the things that's going on in your life around your work and everything else. And so it's nothing there in between. So I just wanted to just kind of put that in there too. So.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. We have a couple of people on the call, listeners on the line. If you'd like to speak or have me call on you, you can press 1, and I'll get a notice here, and then I'll come to you. If not, then we're going to let me give you a second or two to do that if you'd like to speak now. Otherwise, we're going to move on to the next part, and let's talk about okay, I don't see anybody responding. Okay, good. So we're going to go to the next part. So let's talk a little bit about Landmark and the International Black Summit. So what would you say about those two identities and how they relate to each other?
Well, the one thing I can say about Landmark is that Landmark is, I would say, it's a technology that continuously updates itself and continuously prides itself in upgrading the conversation that we're in. And also, by continuously taking seminars, I just always appreciate that I can always go back to Landmark, and I, you know, like, I don't take a course for 4 years and come back and actually start to dwell back in the technology. And it's changed a little, but it's still pretty much tried and true. And they have so many different courses to offer from that I really like that. And here's another thing too. I want to speak to this. What I wanted to say, because I said this around the Sterling conversation, is that with Landmark, I think Landmark is more about the mind.
Okay.
You know, where Sterling was more about the heart. What is similar, that you try to get the same result, is actually getting powerful results, but at least you kind of deal with your mind in the positive aspect of, you know, if you say you can do this, then you can do this. And it's a lot of different distinctions that Landmark really offers.
True. Yeah, Landmark does have a lot of ways of you being in action.
Exactly.
That's the thing that is very consistent about what Landmark is about, is it gets you in action. So it gets you out of your head and in action.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And is there anything else you want to say, Glenn?
No, go ahead. And
one thing I can say with Landmark is that, and also with Landmark, and in almost every course, and I think they both have a lot of similarities, but one thing that I can say about Landmark, you actually are supported in a lot of areas where you actually have a lot of coaching on a regular basis. You know, when I was in Introduction to the Leaders program, then you have a coach for the whole 6 months.
Okay.
So if you were really in your head, then you talk to your coach every week to really distinguish things and move ahead.
Okay.
And then also in the program, you also have someone that you have a buddy with so that you two can talk every week. You make sure you talk to that person every week, and you talk to your coach every week. So you're always getting support. And I think that was really crucial. And then going back to Sterling a little bit, in Sterling we actually did something similar where we would talk to each man would have a man that we would support, and then a man would support us. So it's not that it, so it would be that it wouldn't be that one person is taking up all your energy. You support one man, and one man supports you. So in each dynamic, support.
Okay.
Now, yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
Well, one of the things, how does the summit compare to some of the things you just talked about, Landmark and Sterling?
Okay, good. So with the summit, what I enjoyed about the summit that one that since the summit was totally that we kind of designed the summit as far as people who came out of Landmark, in that. The summit actually has you look at your vision, and has, and we kind of came up with our own different, you know, our own way of doing it. And one thing that I can say, especially when I was totally involved in the summit years ago, which I am now even to this day, is that it was similar that, you know, I actually did have someone that I could go to if I got stuck. And that the summit would have that conversation. Even though the summit was once a year, we would do things through the whole year that we get supported by each other, and to also have someone that I could totally distinguish things with. And so here I'm gonna speak to this again. Well, I said with Sterling, you dealt with the mind. I mean, with the heart. With Landmark, you did with the mind. And what I got out of being within the summit is that you deal with the spirituality of what it is to be human. And that's what, you know, Landmark has the, you know, like what it is to be human, but then also with International Black Summit, I found that there was more about our spirit.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. Yeah, I can definitely get that aspect. One of the things that I wanted to speak to a little bit is the talk about a little bit about the structure of the summit and how it works. Because, of course, Landmark has area centers all over the country, the world, pretty much. And out of those centers, they manage the forum being done, and they manage seminars, and they also manage communication courses. And they also have a consulting division.
It's called Vantos Group now. Yeah, Vantos Group now. Yeah.
That's what they call it now. Okay.
It's called the Vantos Group. Yeah.
Yeah, and so they've got levels, different levels of courses that you can take, and you can take them, and they have a rotating schedule, and each area center has courses that you can take, and leaders and seminars, and so forth. The International Black Summit has one program a year, one annual event. The annual event is on the first full weekend in August. So whatever is the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that first weekend of August is when the summit occurs. And it's as I said, it's an annual event once a year. And what happens is that throughout the year, there are prerequisite courses. So the prerequisite course is a course that actually gets you ready, but it's also a standalone course. And so one of the things about the prerequisite course is that it's a course that also gets you in action, but also gets you in action in a way that is, it's facilitated a little differently. You know, one of the things that we've been talking about tonight is that, you know, we've talked about Sterling, we've talked about Landmark, and we've talked about the International Black Summit. But one of the things about the International Black Summit is that, all three of them, there are different access points into getting you in action. And so so there's the annual event, there are prerequisites that are occurring, and then there are general planning sessions that take place around the country that people who participated at the summit can get involved in. There are also conference calls that are made available. There's a leadership, there's a facilitator body call, there's a financial group meeting, and there are various other entities of the summit that occur. Now, the thing, if I were to compare the three at this point in time, the summit doesn't have any paid staff, so it's all volunteer, whereas Landmark has paid staff and has a lot of volunteers to do the work it does. And is that correct for Sterling as well? Sterling has a paid and a volunteer staff to help them do their work?
Yeah, what Sterling actually has, his staff is definitely a lot smaller, but he does have a staff of maybe two or three people, where at least with Landmark, you actually have a staff in almost every major city with at least three people, but Sterling only has a staff of three people, and the rest of it and the part that I'm in right now is actually totally volunteer. Like the part that we work in, the part that I'm part of right now is totally volunteer. Only the part that's really staff is the part of his course, but everything else, the men actually drive up everything else voluntarily. So it's kind of similar to the summit there. It started out of Sterling, but it pretty much is most of the men volunteer everything else for the most part.
Okay. Very good. So what else can you say about the three? And I'm hoping that someone from Youth at Risk gets on the call. I know of Youth at Risk. I've actually never participated with Youth at Risk program, inside of it. But I know people who have an experience of that. What other things can you say about the three programs that you've been part of?
Well, one thing I guess I can say that I think that what I like is that to me they all three go hand in hand. What I love about being around all three of them is that at any given time I can call. This is really great when I actually have a huge issue with dealing with. You know, how I want to really go man-to-man with someone, I actually call someone in the Sterling, the division with Sterling. If I have an issue that I don't think I really stuck with, I go to someone in Landmark. And if I have something going on around my spirituality, I come to someone in the summit. And it's just, so with that, that's really great. But also what you have inside of all of that is that you have people who can relate to you in those different aspects. You know, because of course, you know, I would say as an example, I wouldn't really want to go to a woman to tell, you know, to ask her like how I want to deal with another man, you know. And I think that's the beauty of actually doing these different things. But at the same time, it's also good that they're really sometimes interchangeable, you know, that we actually do have an area or someone that you can really kind of speak to. Now another thing I want to touch base on, if you don't mind, Glenn, is that. Sterling actually really, the men really came up with some great programs that have men really get supported, and they have several events during the year Oh, and this is something that I guess I want to really go through, too, is that one good thing about Sterling also is that you do not have to actually come into the entry-level area. You can now, if you come to the division and you say, hey, I want to be part of this, then you can come to meetings every week. You know, and you can eventually do one of the programs, but it's not like you have to. But we recommend it. But it's a good place that men who, and unlike the other two to some degree, is that you can actually come in and say, hey, you know, I would like to find what this is about. And you can actually sit through the meeting, and then you can come back every week and totally get supported by the men in the division. And a lot of times men really pick up on what we're here for, and then they decide, okay, I want to do this event. Where at least with Landmark, you actually have to do the entry-level program to actually come and do that.
Yeah, and the same with the International Black Summit. We have
right.
that prerequisite in order to kind of get you orientated. Okay.
And what and then so let's and I'm, let's go ahead and touch on this thing. So what's there for me is that Sterling, what the men in Sterling really decided, and what they came out, I would say maybe 5 or 6 years ago, is that we will have no man not be supported. Like you know, we're not going to say that, hey, you know, you're having a rough time and you got to go do this course that may cost some money that you may not be able to do at this time, but you can always come here and you can actually get what you need.
Sure.
And we also don't hold over their head that we know something. You know, like we know something and you don't.
Gotcha.
You know, and I think that's the one thing I can say that Sterling really put in place. I mean, I would say the men, which is actually, by the way, I want to actually put this into, this is that Sterling, the men actually broke away, and they call it Men's Division International, which is actually a separate organization altogether. And that was
that
one of the...
Sterling?
Yeah, it came out of Sterling, but the men all voluntarily are part of this Men's Division International.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it
so,
just,
that's like the volunteer... leg of the Sterling Institute for
it is.
Cultural Relationship. Okay.
Yeah. And we're almost in the, you know what, and this is good that we're talking about this. It's almost like the summit in that it's a whole different, it actually does use all the Sterling principles, but it's still governed totally by the men and not by Sterling. Sterling has no say in what we do.
Well, you know what, let's back up for a little bit and let's talk a little bit about the history of how these programs came into being. And, of course, I'm going to speak from my knowledge base, and so I'm not sure if that's fully how it is, but I can speak to what I know and my perspective of what I've heard and spoken to and so on and so forth. So let's back up for a second and talk a little bit about Landmark. So Landmark, Warner Earhart designed that program back, I think it's in the 70s. I want to say in the 70s or so, or late 70s, out in San Francisco. Matter of fact, I think he had an epiphany coming across the Golden Gate Bridge. And he was actually going to be working for Bionetics, Ron L. Hubbard. He was going to be a trainer for Ron L. Hubbard's work. And decided for whatever reason not to go there and to design his own work and established EST. Don't remember exactly what the EST training actually meant. I did at one point in time. But anyway, that was established, and I think the EST training was around up until the late 80s, early 90s. Probably around the mid-80s is when the S training turned from S to the forum. And then that body of work stood on the shoulders of the S training, and it was a little less confrontational and more palatable to more people, because the S training was very confrontational. And at that time, if you think about where people were at, they were coming out of the 60s, which everything was kind of laid back. So you were actually putting structure into people's lives who hadn't had that kind of structure to produce results. And then the forum kind of evened that out a little bit. And so so that kind of occurred. And I know that the Breakthrough Foundation came out of the Landmark Education, because it changed from, the Breakthrough Foundation, which is the umbrella organization for youth at risk, came out of the relationship that Warner had. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he sold the technology to the Breakthrough Foundation for $1, from what I understand, so that the Breakthrough Foundation was allowed to use the work that Landmark had developed in all their series and so forth. And I believe that that occurred somewhere in the I want to say mid-'80s, 85, 86, somewhere in there, shortly thereafter the forum. When did Sterling come into play in this conversation?
Sterling did his first course was 1987. I think it was, let's say the mid-'80s. I would say 1980, either 85 or 86. And I knew that some of the men in Atlanta, they did, I think, the first course in 87. So that's what I'm clear about. And he, you know, the history of what he did was he was a counselor, and he decided that, well, he was counseling women and men, of course, and, you know, families and relationship. And one of the women that he was counseling said, you know what, you're doing such a great job with this. You know, can you actually you know, do one for the women? And they said, yes, of course. And when he did that, they did it on his front lawn, and the women organized it, and it went so well that they said, well, you know what, now that you've done this, you know, can you do this now for our counterparts, our husbands, our boyfriends? And that's how that started, you know, that he was actually having a practice to counsel people, and it went from having a practice of counseling to an actual a seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the men felt like, well, you know what, now the men and the women said, you know what, this is such a great thing that can we take this back to our cities and use it in our regular lives? So it started, like I said, like by 1985, 1986. And from what I understand, Sterling actually was under the S training. And that he broke away from that and came into, came and did his own thing. Now, I can't say I can quote that on that, but I do know he did come at least from the training of that.
Okay. And so then the International Black Summit occurred in 1991, and what that was were black graduates of the S training and the forum who came together by themselves. They organized themselves and created an event that was sanctioned in Atlanta and established the International Black Summit. And the International Black Summit has really been, and the intention of it, because I actually can speak to that, I was at the first one, the intention of the International Black Summit was to have a space for people to, for people of black African descent to actually have a conversation of empowerment amongst themselves. So that was the initial, kind of focus of it. And we wanted to have a space to do that amongst ourselves, not necessarily within the sanctions of Landmark. And so the summit has evolved from that particular conversation. Given that there have been different aspects of the relationship, Sterling has had a relationship, still has a relationship with Landmark, as far as you know, Rod?
Well, I don't know. Well, no, not really. No, I don't know. I'm not sure if he actually ever really had a relationship with him. I just know that a lot of men do both.
Okay.
Also, I know that I'm not sure if Sterling himself actually had really just say that he really came from the Landmark training. You know, I think that's been the history of it, but he really wasn't like he just kind of say, I'm going to use these principles from it. But it's been more of, you know, I know that he came from that training.
Okay. And I know Youth at Risk did come from, they got trained, and they were actually trained from course leaders from Landmark and developed the ropes course. And the ropes course that they developed were the same ropes course that the six-day advanced course used. So it was just, very similar, and then they actually began to develop a couple of other ropes course techniques or challenges that were different than the six-day. So I actually worked on the six-day staff, and basically there were three ropes course events for the adults, and then Youth at Risk actually had about five or six, depending on the course layout and what they were able to do, because they also had some mini courses, but they actually had the 10-day advanced course, and then they had the 7-day, and then I think they had a 4-day. So they had different focuses in order to create the event. But the bottom line was that it was always youth who were in gangs. A lot of them were in gangs. And what you would find is that you would get groups of rival gangs to actually kind of break down and see the humanity in the other groups. So there was, the essence of the work has really been about transformation, certainly of the mind, of the thinking, of your behavior, and your ways of being. And that's the thing that when I look for myself, I see, you look at Landmark, you look at the International Black Summit, you look at Youth at Risk, you look at Sterling, all of them are changing the way you look at things, your mindset, how you think about things, and of course ended up impacting how you act or the action that you would take consistent with those changes. Rod, anything else that you would like to add around that? I'm going to begin to take some callers and see where they are.
No, I think that's good right now at this point. Yeah, just take some calls and see what's going on out there.
Okay. Now, callers, you can dial 1, and I will know that you're looking to speak, but I'm actually going to pick out a couple people, and we're going to start off with 856. 264. Hold a second, you'll be on the air in a second. Okay, you should be on the air now. Go ahead. Caller 856.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can now.
Great. Hi, Glenn. Great show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any comments? Anything you'd like to say?
Well, actually, I missed the very first part of the show, so I kind of had a question about, I guess you're doing the distinctions between the International Black Summit, Sterling, and Youth at Risk, and I guess
Landmark.
My question is, and Landmark, okay. So are there, I guess, my question is, are there men's subsets in all of the groups?
Say some more about what do you mean a men's subset?
So
within,
Each of the groups men only, or do each of the groups have a subset, within the larger organization where the men have kind of come together, to form a subgroup of men doing the work that's done in each of the groups?
Only in Sterling that we do that. Definitely not in Landmark. And we definitely didn't do that in the Summit. But in Sterling is the only one that we actually is just all men only.
Now, interestingly enough, in the beginning with Youth at Risk, they did gear it towards male gang members, but they've since done away with that and have integrated the conversation because they realize it's a young people conversation, not just a male or female conversation. So I don't know they had just done it because that was the target market for Youth at Risk. anyway, yeah. So anything else about any other questions that you did you get that did that
no,
the, answer?
No, that yeah, that answered my question. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Hold on, we've got another caller 646-327. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, thank you for having this this conversation. You know, I did the S training, you know, in the 80s.
Okay.
And the landmark form, I've completed the entire curriculum as a staff member, you know, and I'm still, you know.
We lost you. We lost you for a second.
Yes, I lost my earpiece for a moment.
His earpiece is getting his earpiece.
Yeah, and I'm back now. Okay. And okay. I'm still a program leader at Landmark Education.
Oh, okay.
Great. When I completed my ILT, I was looking for somewhere really to express my leadership in the world.
Okay.
And I discovered the International Black Summit, and I was really not the biggest really how to really express myself, you know, as a landmark person and you know and a black and my association with the Black Summit. So, but I did not pursue my relationship with the Black Summit, but I listen every Sunday.
Okay.
And I know that the conversation is the same, or the goal is the same. You know, there are some minor dissimilarities, but it's all the same. And so, the question that you had, what do we want the relationship?
Yes.
What
would you like to see?
Yeah, I would like to not to see an ongoing and a closeness. Relationship between between all our groups. I know that when I was a staff member at Landmark Education, that was just a 2 years ago. I know that the youth at risk began to using our space for their meetings. When I was a staff member at Landmark for the, at least 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know youth at risk began using our space in New York at the New York Center for meetings.
Okay.
So, and I was very happy about that. That relationship really seems to be renewing, but at least at that level. But
mm-hmm.
I would want to see an ongoing relationship between the International Black Summit. Between a Landmark, between Youth at Risk, and all the organizations that grow out of the S training, and not to forget, Mission Control, the Hunger Project.
Sure,
that's
true.
And yeah, all things that really that grew out of this conversation. And the question we'll ask about S stand for the Erhard Seminar Training, ESD.
Can you say that again?
Right.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear him.
Earhart Seminar Training. As soon as you said it, yes. Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for, and what was your name, sir?
My name is Kwasi.
Kwasi.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kwasi. I appreciate the contribution. That was excellent.
Yeah.
Hold on, I've got another caller. 404-521. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Rod. It's Edwin in Atlanta.
Hey, Ed.
Hey,
what's
Ed.
Up, man?
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
How you doing?
What I wanted to do, put it out there. Sometime to hear some of the things that, like what Rod and you're talking about and Glenn, how we talk about the summit and some of the other training. A lot of times, like, there is a listening that may not be considered very manly, if you will, to have those kind of conversation, to have those kind of, like there's a stereotype of it being weak in a manly sense. And that is, hopefully, for those who may be listening, maybe put out there, the benefits or why it's so powerful to kind of go past, you know, that listening as we have for these types of things.
Can I speak to that real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, one thing that I find, and which has been great between the three, is that what you find in between the three organizations is that once you actually have, and this is, I guess, came back from, I guess, all three, is like really having a background of relatedness, that you can do that once, you know, once you're actually inside of, you know, Sterling, Landmark, or the Summit, you can have a relationship where you can say anything. I think when you're not inside of that relationship, it's difficult to go down that path with people who are not on the same page. So I think that that's been really great that overall that I find that I can have this type of conversation with someone who has a background for what I'm saying and can just be very vulnerable. But if you're not inside of that conversation, then it is a little difficult, and it can be.
You know, one of the things that, share a short story with you, but in terms of how I've gotten to where I am today, is there are a couple of milestones. One of the milestones for me, of course, you know, I've got lots of work from being on staff at the Sixth Day, and S training and the forum and so on and so forth. But one of the things that broke out for me was the sex and intimacy seminar that was offered by Landmark that actually had me really discover for myself the difference between sex and intimacy, which prior to that seminar, I had the two collapse. Once I was able to distinguish the sex and intimacy, I was actually freed up to be actually intimate with men. You know, that it had nothing to do with sex. And so that opened me up to the whole conversation of the power that I saw in the Sterling work that I did. I only did the one course, but there was something very powerful about being a man. And for me, the Sterling conversation was that. It was about being a man very powerfully. And then the Summit conversation was the opportunity for me to be a powerful black man. And so all of them have contributed to me in different ways and are different expressions of who I am and who I am in the world. So I definitely can, and the Youth at Risk program has shown me how the leadership in leading young people and being a role model, even though, as Mr. Barkley says, we're not a role model, but yeah, we are, because guess who's watching us, our every move. So all of them have really contributed to who I am. We've got about 36 minutes left, so go ahead, keep going. Any other questions out there? Comments? Rod?
Well, I'm glad you really said that, Glenn, because I think that the bigger picture for me, I find that, being in these different organizations like this is that you, I guess I just want to speak on the same topic still, is that you really can find that once you actually have a place that you can really, be yourself, then you can really say what's there. And one thing I can also say that, I also find it that, especially taking a lot of the courses, and like what you just said, it was one course that I took inside of the training that I actually had a clear breakthrough with how I actually related, to women. You know, and it just really opens some things up. And I think that, by being around this type of work, and it just made a huge difference. And also, one of the things that really came up is that it's almost like a cliche, but, some women, when they, after knowing me, and then they, and talking to me after knowing me for years, and they said, something's different about you. you know, and one thing that, you know, when I start talking about things I've done, they say I can really see the difference. And I think that what happens is when you start to see who you are and know who you are as a man and in your community, then you are a different person. You know, and women see that, and people see that. You know, and that's what shows up, you know, because women go like, wow, whatever you did, that was great, because you definitely, you know, you're different, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what it is, because one girl just really, she just really kept talking about it, like, wow, you're so different. So I just wanted to kind of put that comment in there. And I know it directly came from being around men who also had very good confidence to just say, hey, this is what we are, this is what we want to do, and you can really, you know, I can contribute to being with those people that brought that out.
Yeah.
Mr. Frank, can I say something?
Yes, please, go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things that you know, I am, you know, a nationalist, you know, a Pan-Africanist, and a Gavian. And
okay.
I find that my training and my at Landmark is consistent with my philosophy, you know, of African nationalism. And now, especially with the conversation around responsibilities, the willingness to see oneself as cause. And when I live as cause, and I can take responsibility for everything that happens in my community.
Right.
I see that I am the creator of my community, and that no one's to blame for the circumstances which I find myself in or the circumstances which my people find themselves in. It's up to me. To transform those circumstances. So I really find that it's totally consistent, you know, with my philosophy as an African nationalist. And that's where I get into with others, let's say people of African descent, who see me being associated with Landmark, who what they consider a white organization.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. You know, one of the things, you know, I mean, this work is very consistent in that it's about having breakthroughs and creating, creating results.
Yeah.
One of the things that I was, was in the New York Area Center, I think it was week before last, and one of the things that I went to see an introduction that Larry Pearson was leading, and one of the things that I saw was very inviting for me is I walked into the room, and here's a room full of black folks. And
I was there.
Okay, good. And to see that, and to see someone leading the event that was also of black African descent, really warmed my heart. Because one of the things that when I look back at my participation in the 90s, we had a couple of seminar leaders. I think Margaret Poussaint was actually a seminar leader at that point in time, and she was somebody who was actually out of the People of African Descent Empowerment Group, which is another group or organization that was created just out of the New York area to support the black community, which let me backtrack. People of African Descent Empowerment Group, or PDEG, was actually established in the New York Area Center in the 90s. Actually, it started in the late 90s, I think November, December, and continue, and it still continues today, was set up to train ourselves in the leadership. Rod, we started out this conversation early on talking about leadership, IFLs, the communication court. Well, TMLP wasn't even around at that point in time, but we had different assistant agreements within Landmark. And one of the things to my delight was when we walked into the center manager, which was Armin DiCarlo, and said, "Listen, it wasn't Armin. We actually talked to the enrollment manager. We said, why aren't there more people in the IFLP program?" And at that time it was the course supervisor program. And other leadership, and they said, "Well, because you haven't put them in there." So one of the things that we quickly said, "Well, okay, good. So if we don't put them in there, then you know, to make it so we started putting people in these leadership programs and make sure that we got the training that we needed so that we could now, at some point, take it out into the community and do the work that was available for our community." So for me to walk into a room in Landmark to see it being led by someone black, and to see a sea of black folks in there, always warmed my spirit, because that was something that when the International Black Summit was started in '91. That was a common happen, and it was out of that clearing, that that Margaret Poussaint decided that because what we did is we actually established a couple of black forums in New York, one actually a couple out of the second International Black Summit. We declared that we were going to have one in New York called the Forum in the Hood. And so Margaret worked with the forum leaders that came in, and as a result of that, decided that she wanted to be a forum leader and became the first black forum leader. So kind of started the whole chip rolling. So to make a long story short, I know it's a little elongated, but the thing that was that was what was missing for me in the center back in the 90s, and to see it available, I was very surprised and happy to have that kind of a reception available in Landmark. And so now for me it's like, well, where do we take this? What do we do with this? How do we nurture it? Because most of the people in that room who have done the forum, who were the graduates, not a lot of them know about the International Black Summit. And so how do we get the word out? So that's part of the premise of this conversation here tonight. And, you know, if anybody sees anything or has any questions around that, please speak up. I've got a caller, 504-382. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, it's Chakesha. How you doing, Glenn?
Great. Chakesha, how you doing?
Okay. Can you hear me clearly?
Very clear.
Okay, great. And that's Ron there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, hey, Ron, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, I'm doing great. Good to hear you on the show.
Thank you, Shakesha.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to jump in, and the thing that's coming up for me as I listen to this conversation is I came into Landmark in 1993, and I remember my girlfriend trying to share with me for a solid year. She tried to get me to come to an intro. And every time she asked me, I tell her, I'm busy. So finally, I decided to go to an intro. And it was, I'm from Los Angeles. So it was in Los Angeles, and I walk into the room, and it's like 200 people in the room. And out of the 200 people, it might have been 5 people, counting her and myself. And I listened to the intro, and when she asked me if I wanted to do it, I told her no, and she asked me why, and I said, because I don't see no black people here, and I mean, it was just straight out, like, why would I want to be here if I don't see a whole bunch of black people here? But luckily, I had been listening to the introduction, and I really heard them say sometimes people do it out of the trust of their friend who asked them, and what I got about my girlfriend was that she knew who I was. You know, in fact, I always tell people, I remember her standing there when I told her boldly no, and she stood like the Rock of Gibraltar, this beautiful black woman. She didn't try to persuade me, but she just stood for me. And in her standing, I said, this woman would not waste my time. She knows what I'm up to. And I said, okay, I'll do it. And that was my introduction to Landmark. And the very first introduction I went to was actually in Compton. It was the very, well, it wasn't the first introduction, I mean, Landmark form for black people, but it was the first one in the hood. And it was mostly black and Latinos. And we almost had a fight break out by first break because, you know, the women called a meeting in the bathroom because they was like, we got to walk out because, you know, we got these black people sitting here telling us. So, like, that whole, all of that was in the mix. And then that Sunday night when, you know, when you're having your graduate guests be there, these black women just appeared like black ninjas. And one woman appeared before me, and she handed me a piece of paper. And she said, you want to be here. And when I looked back up from the paper, she was gone. But that was my my invitation to the International Black Summit, which I did in August of 93. And I found my way to Oakland. I didn't even know where Oakland was. But to kind of now answer the question that Glenn said, I started telling every black person I saw at Landmark, we got to go to the summit, the International Black Summit. It's in Oakland. And people was like, well, we don't have no car that'll, you know, go that far. I said, okay, let's rent a van. And at that time, all of us black people, we couldn't get no credit card. We didn't, none of us had a credit card. But this Jewish woman said to me, I want to go to the summit, the International Black Summit. I said, you can't come. Only black people can come. She said, but what could I do? And I said, well, I need your credit card. She met me down at the rental place with her credit card, and we rented the van, and I took 11 people to the International Black Summit in Oakland. And I tell you, what a joy.
That's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
And it really speaks to the possibility that we are as a community. Because one of the things that I'm clear about it are all of these organizations are clearly impacting the community. And what's the possibility of us kind of working together, like really being all on the same page, you know, because the International Black Summit has a youth division, and so does the Youth at Risk. So, you know, wouldn't that be a great thing to share the technology and share some of the things that are available and maybe even develop some things together? You know, you've got the Sterling Men and maybe the International Black Summit could create something together, you know, maybe specifically for black men or men in general, who knows. But, you know, to give them that experience of Africanness. Because one of the things that I'm clear about, and Rod and I were talking about this off air, we talked a little bit about an event that was occurring, was it last night, Rod?
Yeah, it was last night.
We talked about, you know, he was going to a spiritual event, and it was a little daunting, and it was a little... you know, it was a little scary because you weren't sure what to expect. And, you know, but I got to tell you that there were moments in the summit for myself where I had to get off of it and I had to be with my Africanism and the aspects of spirituality that I wasn't necessarily comfortable with. But I had to trust the people around me that they knew what they were doing and, you know, something wouldn't jump out and jump on my foot, you know. So, you know, it's, you know, the whole rituals that we do, you know, is very African. We bring in the ancestors. All of that was very new to me. And so, but I was open to it because I was open to the people around me who were of Black African descent that were bringing me this work, this body of work. So it was very comfortable for me to be introduced, and it wasn't a whole lot of trepidation on my part. It was like, oh, interesting. That's kind of, I wouldn't have thought about that, you know. So there's a lot of that. And I'm sure other people have some experiences of that as well.
Go ahead. This is Kira. Yeah, I had a question. When does the group meet? Like, is there a time, you know, where the meetings take place?
What are you talking about, for the Sterling?
The Summit, the Sterling, Landmark, Youth at Risk.
Oh, well, okay.
I guess the question is, which one do you really want to know about?
Because we could tell you about all of them. We've got people that want to talk about all of them. We talked a little bit about London this year, but let's start with go ahead. Start with Sterling. So Sterling is happening when?
Sterling actually, and this is one good thing. You know, you can actually go on his website and it has his courses. But in each city, like in Atlanta, we actually meet once a month, every first Thursday. And the women meet once a month. But the course itself, like the course, we're going to do one in New York, actually. He has courses on East Coast, and he has a men's weekend that's coming up in New York, which should be right in, it's right outside of New York, I think maybe right outside of Poughkeepsie. And then he has a women's course. It's usually like a month or two after that. But you can go on his website to find that out, of course. And then, of course, Landmark, of course, always have courses, and they have it on their website. And I think what you can really find it, almost all of them have their different ways you can actually go on their website so you can find out when the courses are. But as far as the meeting themselves, we actually do have out here in Atlanta once a month on every first Thursday for the men, and I'm not sure what night the women actually do theirs.
Good. And so the International Black Summit, again, we've got our event on the first full weekend of August. This year it's going to be in London. Next year it's going to be in Baltimore, Maryland. We also have prerequisite events that we have from time to time in different cities. Those are standalone events that occur. And we're also doing some work with communities. So there's a body of community work that we're doing that we'll set up with the community and go in and create a package for them, a one-day, two-day, or three-day event, depending on what their needs are. So there are, you know, those are the various things that are available. Also, we have pretty much a quarterly meeting where we're able to do some of the planning work for the summit, and we also have conference calls. So we have the leadership team has a call, the facilitator body has a call, the youth have a call from time to time. There's a financial call, and there are various enrollment calls that are part of the International Black Summit.
Today we had one where one of the summit, International Black Summit member, is reaching out to her friends and family in London. So today at 2, we were on the phone, on Skype, with three of her relatives sharing about the International Black Summit. And we're going to speak again next Sunday to share with them and have people get registered to be with us in London.
We also have the Summit Share. Shares, which are around the country in Atlanta. Rod, why don't you speak about the one that occurred, was it yesterday, right?
Yeah, we had one last night, and we're going to have another one on the 16th of May. So we've been having one every, you know, once a month. Typically, they've actually been at the last weekend of the month, typically, but lately we've kind of switched them off. And we had a very good one last night. It was from, we did it from 3 to 7.
Okay.
I wanted to share, Glenn, one of the things that came on up on the question was about the history of the summit.
Okay.
So I wanted to share on that for a moment. So the International Black Summit started in 1991, and you've been hearing us refer to landmark education because one of the connections is that it started with a landmark graduate who was doing a self-expression leadership program. And her and another graduate was actually at a bar in New Orleans, right? And they got to talking about what would it look like doing transformational work with black folks, like, and looking at what it is to be black or the International Black Summit by having black folks get on the phone. The first interaction was they started having a phone call, and they had so many people daisy chain on the phone call that they started not being able to hear everyone. And so then people said, well, let's meet. And then they had their first meeting in 1991 in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was just awesome. The people who showed up and the conversations that happened in the room. And in fact, the International Black Summit's declaration grew out of that meeting. And at our website, blacksummit.org, you can see our declaration, and I'm sure in a few minutes we'll probably read that. But that's how it started, and it's been going on since then. We're truly international. We've been out of the country. Our first time out of the country was with Nairobi, Kenya. We've been to South Africa. We've been to Ghana, Jamaica, at least two times, Canada. So we literally go around having this conversation around the world with people of African descent. We're also in Brazil. So just to kind of answer, I think it's Black Achievement USA had asked that question.
Gotcha. So let's spend the last couple minutes of what would people like to see occur? Like, what would you like to see out of the organizations working together, projects, collaborations, any ideas on how, you know, what would you like to see in terms of a relationship and working together, or how we would be working together? So let's start off with you, Rod.
Well, one thing is it would really be great if, you know, to actually have Landmark and the summit actually start to have a relationship again. I know at one point it was really great to see most of the people knew what the summit was, and it would be great to actually just kind of, you know, to get back to that to actually have people really get, you know, be back, just to have another open relationship with us again. So that's what I would definitely love to see. You know, so that's one thing I'd like to say.
Okay. Kwame?
Yeah. And I think that relationship begins with me upgrading my relationship, you know, with International Black Summit. You know, for me, it's been 6 years coming, and all I've done is listen to the program.
Gotcha.
So begin with me, you know, really just getting involved and hands-on relationship, you know, with International Black Summit.
Good. And one of the things that's been a mission for me here in New York is we haven't had an event, either a summit share or a prerequisite course in quite a while. So there's an opportunity there for that as well. What about you, Ed?
I got to the tail end of the summer show on yesterday at the tail end when it was ending, because I had to work. Uh,
what would you like to see with the summit, Landmark, Youth at Risk, Sterling? What any particular projects or what kind of relationship would you like to see available?
Well, you know, I guess just the idea of just the conversation itself just kind of just spreading, you know, on a large scale, just that conversation. And I think that it's a lot of value, and, you know, a lot of time that we can recognize or make the comments about our younger generation. You know, they're going to be the key to every culture is the younger generation. So just being able to have that conversation just really spread out and charge, you know, especially at our youth at a younger age, it'll help to kind of impact, you know, the culture, you know, countrywide, statewide, and even worldwide.
Yeah, it's good. I could definitely see that. Chikesha, thank you, Ed. Chikesha?
Well, one of the things, so I actually participate in Landmark and the International Black Summit at the same time. And so one of the things for me is I don't see that it's anything necessarily for Landmark to do. I think if we want that connection is once again, you know, we just start showing up at the center and sharing the information. So, you know, I would just want us to really see that all there's nothing to do except for us to do whatever it is. You know, I've never had the impression that there's a break. You know, people talk about that, but I'm just like, well, when do you want to do it? Let's do it. What are we going to do?
Gotcha. Cool. Well, one of the things that I see that I would like to put out there is my intention and my passion has always been to have this work available in our community. And, you know, and how we do that and how we organize it and how we put it together, I would love for us to be in more communication about it so that we could actually have the different the graduate groups working together. Because, again, when you open up communication, what occurs is that things naturally would gravitate because there are interests that we all have and that we all can share and contribute to. And if there's a vehicle to do that, then projects actually could get done quicker or easier or, you know. So I'd like to see some focused facilitation on lines of communication that would impact the sharing of information and or resources possibly as we relate to our community specifically. So that's kind of what I see going on. Clara? 85664, anything you want to say about?
The only thing that's there for me in between the International Black Summit and Landmark is it would be great to have like a joint course on race relations. So my impression of Landmark was, you know, inside of the course and the work was cool, but if I, you know, got out on the street and ran into people, you know, that I may have not seen in a while, you know, it's a different situation. So I think there's a bubble of transformation in that area inside of the group, but it hasn't, you know, expressed itself as a global solution. And I think that would be something of value in terms of, you know, something to do jointly between the groups that I can see. I think as standalones, I think the International Black Summit does excellent transformation work and has excellent tools and distinctions that have helped me live my life more powerfully. And there were also some tools and distinctions that I got in the landmark work that was also powerful, you know, so they kind of have different sets of tools to do similar types of work, but I think it would be strong to have in terms of cross-section of work. That's an area that I think still needs some work.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I do. So one of the things that that I'm going to look to do is to keep looking to see what those open lines of communication. I know Preston King has been doing some work with some things. He and I met with Larry Pearson, and so that was something that we're looking to reestablish a formal relationship. But of course, like Kwame said earlier, it's really, and Chakasha spoke to it as well, it is really about having, you know, what are you doing? You know, what's your personal experience and what are you willing to do and have happen and generate and create? So I think both are necessary, because we can have a high-level conversation, but if people aren't doing something on the ground level, then things aren't going to, you know, nothing's really going to be happening. Got about 3 minutes left. Got a caller, 301-638. Go ahead. You're on live.
Yes, this is Black Achievement USA, and this is the first time I've come into your show. It's great to see people are interested in having a conversation, a serious conversation, with about some of the myriad, I guess, number of issues affecting Black people worldwide. It's great to hear that, because I'm telling you, I can't find us talking about anything of substance. Nothing. Absolutely, positively. I don't see it, and I'm in the Washington D.C. metro. I don't know what we're talking about. I really don't. One of the issues that I focus on, I agree with what you're saying. You got to spread your wings locally, and I'm working locally to try to understand why is it that Black children in 2009 are making less progress than we were in 1969? Why is it that 40 years it's atrocious? And absolutely, there is no conversation, none. They're telling us that Black children are doing fine. I said, well, they're not doing it. First of all, half of them drop out of school. And those that do survive and make it out of school, they're a part of a track system, a two-tier track system, where they don't go to college, where they can't compete, they don't camp beyond football and basketball. That's it.
True. Now, let me ask you this, because we've got about 1 minute left before we stop streaming. When is your show on the? You're on Blog Talker as well, or where?
I have a show on Blog Talk, but I'm also doing things locally in Southern Maryland. I'm planning to run for school board down here, and
yes.
I was using the show really to gather momentum and get my spirits up to get good ideas from everybody worldwide. And what I found out, and I've been on Blog Talk for almost a year, is that everybody got the same issues.
Yeah.
I said, wait, how could we all have these same issues and nobody on a national level is even hinting at these issues, not even coming close? I mean, nobody, everywhere I go, be it Tampa, Charlotte, Chicago, Oakland, everybody is saying the same thing, and that is essentially that Black leadership is working off a playbook that we don't know nothing about.
Well,
they're doing things we don't know nothing about, and so I'm trying. This is really to get energy to do things on a local level, brother. That's what I'm trying to do. Do things, bring out conversation, do things the way sensible people would do. Handle problems the way sensible people handle problems. We don't do that.
True. But let me. I've got 30 seconds left. Let me invite you back to our show. We've got ongoing shows on Sunday nights. From 8 to 9:30, and we also have a show, Wealth Club, on Tuesdays from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. And I want to thank my guests for being on the show. This is Man of the Month. Thank you very much for participating tonight. Love you all. Take care. Peace and blessings.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Make sure.